Hello and welcome to Mellowpod from Not Often Heard. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
And this is where we take a look at Melody Festival and Sweden's show to pick their entry for the Eurovision Song Contest. And we move on to heat number 3 in Lidköping.
Lidköping.
Not Linköping. That was last week. You have to be very careful that you say Lid, not Linköping, or just Lish, as the locals like to call it, apparently. Now, we've had a couple of uneven weeks, is the polite word.
False starts.
Harsh. Where the songs haven't really been setting the world alight, in our opinion, anyway.
No.
So we were hoping for Heat 3 to maybe, bring something a little bit more attractive to our ears. But before we dive into the songs, we're going to talk about the intro that we got. We got Dolly Style making a surprise reappearance, singing Habibi from 2019. Do you remember Habibi?
Vaguely, yes.
Dolly Style is one of those groups that has, you know, like a revolving door of people coming in and out playing the characters.
Yeah.
Holly, Molly, Polly.
Gosh.
You know, it's clearly marketed at the younger demographic. It's, you know, yeah, it's a kids' pop band thing. It's all very, you know, they've got purple and blue and pink hair and stuff like that. I'm not quite sure why this was on, because it was from 2019, as I said. It didn't get past its heat, didn't progress, so it wasn't a successful song in Melfest as such. The only thing I can think of is there was a message at the beginning of the show where they talked about how the money they were going to raise through the phone votes that night would be put towards the people who were affected by the earthquake over in Turkey and Syria.
Right.
And Habibi is that kind of, you know, Middle Eastern pop sound to it.
Yeah.
That's the only link I can find, and it sounds a bit weird. Maybe I'm on completely the wrong track.
I thought that. I did wonder whether or not they, Dolly Style, performed at Lidköping as well. And they just thought, oh, it's a callback to that as well. I don't know.
It could be, you know, I don't have that to look up. I should. I can't look that up. Don't throw things at me like this.
Sorry.
But anyway, it was nice to see it performed again. It's a good track. I enjoy it. And it's, you know, it's something really nice to kind of start. Get everybody waving in the audience and stuff.
It's a lot of fun. And it's a nice, easy dance routine for everybody to join in with.
What more can anybody ask?
Well, it'd be nice if it was sung better, but, you know.
Shall we have a recap of the songs before we start discussing?
Yes, let's recap them.
Okay, here's Heat number 3's 7 songs. Royals, Paul Ray. Casanova's So Come Shen's No Not in Vodka. Melanie Weber, For the Show. Nordman, Step a la Soga. Laurel, Soba. Ida Lova, Lord Hela Stan Sepo. And Marcus and Martinez, Air. There you go. That was your 7. Let's start then now with song number one, Paul Ray and Royals. Some quick facts about Paul Ray. This is his third attempt. He did 2020, Talking in My Sleep, 2021, The Missing Piece. He was also one of the writers of Surface from Ellen Benediction and Simon Peyron in 2020. And I Can't Get Enough by Cassiopeia from last year.
Yeah.
As well. So, you know, as a singer and a songwriter, reasonably successful. Mark, kick us off. What did you reckon?
I liked in the pre-interview that Farah was doing with him that he said... this new song has got more pep than his previous two entries into Malfest.
Mm.
And by God, he wasn't half wrong. Right, sorry. He wasn't half right. This is so much better than his last two songs. His last two songs were so slow and, dare I say, a little bit depressing, whereas this, I thought, was actually... pretty good. I like the bridge. I like the chorus. There was a good hook in the chorus where the audience could all shout Royals, Royals.
Yep.
I love that. The beat was great. I like the fact that there was a bit of a dance break.
Yeah.
I really thought it was a good way to open the show. It was a good song, good choreo. Yeah. More like this, please, Malfest. Like, thank you. You know, you, third time's the charm.
Would you say you're loving it and you're here for it?
Maybe.
not quite.
It's not quite up there with Latin pop.
Alex, floating your boat?
I would say so. Like, the way it was kind of formatted and the way they had all the lighting and the backdrops and stuff, it was giving me very... Martin's vibes from Heroes with like the
chalkboard.
Chalk style backgrounds. I thought it was really good. I thought it was nice and upbeat. I thought the tune was really good. It had a proper chorus.
Tick.
You know?
Yeah, big tick.
The outfit's really good. And I think the colour scheme as well was... It was simple but effective, having it be black and white and then those big like pops of yellow and red. I thought it was good. I thought the whole thing was really clean and efficient and really quite good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got a key change, so that's a big plus for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do like that. It was a good show. You put on a good performance. It's one of those songs that it's not an immediate attention grabber for me, though. It started to get better as it went along. And I can still remember the hook, which is always a good thing. But right now, is it something I'd be rushing to play again? I don't think I could say yes.
No, I think it will be more of a grower, definitely. It doesn't grab you straight away. I just thought, this is so much better than his last two songs. But I suppose just because it's more to my taste, really.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that's the thing. You've got to appeal to lots of different people, haven't you? Not just us.
Let's move on to song number two, then. Casanova's So Come Scienz Luna Til Bocca. I'll kick off with this one.
I was going to say, you should start with this one, Gary.
This is right up my street. This is dance band Schlager. It's old-fashioned, yes. It's not going to win. Yes, of course it's not. But I don't care. I love this kind of song. And this is the kind of stuff we would see in the 90s in Melfest. And it's hugely popular still. This group have been going, have been around since, I think, the late 90s or so. It's got a classic structure in the sense that you've got a verse that's made up of about two lines, then you just go straight back into the chorus again. Which is fine with me, because this song is all about that chorus. It's got that classic bridge, and then we get a key change again.
Yeah.
My only thought was, really was, were Vingegaard not available this year? Were they not up for it?
That crossed my mind.
Because he's very much in that style. It even sounds very similar.
Yeah.
I can absolutely imagine Vingegaard singing this. I do wonder if it was offered to them and they perhaps said, no, thanks, you know, we want a year off or whatever after doing it, you know, two times in the last sort of 3 years, I think, or so. So maybe they want to... But, yeah, love it. Perfect. Mark?
I thought it was catchy and cheesy enough. I like the kind of like Las Vegas style staging. That's what they were going for, like a Las Vegas lounge sort of look.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't look out of place there with the sparkly trousers. It wasn't doing it as much for me as it was for you, but it was pleasant enough. And don't you think the lead singer looked like Chris Chibnall off Doctor Who?
Oh, he does, doesn't he? He really does.
In fact, if I didn't know that Chris Chibnall was in LA this weekend, I'd have thought he's doing a moonlighting job.
Alex, what about you?
Now, you see, you say it's more of a Vegas thing, Mark. I think it's a bit more kind of like a group of dads who want to reclaim some of their youth by forming a band, and you see them like doing shows like down the Workingmen's Club or like Butlins or something.
Well, there is at least one dad son pairing in there. I think one of the dads is on guitars, and I think maybe his son's on the other guitar. Mm. So there's a bit of a family thing there, but you're right. It is older people.
You're right. It had no chance of winning, but it's you can't tell me they are not having a good time up there on that stage. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, it's a well sung performance. They looked like they were really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So what's not to like?
Yeah.
Okay, song number three, Melanie Weber for the show. Now, Melanie has been in Melfest 8
Many advanced on 8 do I have 9 do I see 9 anywhere?
So a quick overview of her career. Mainly as a songwriter, this is. So she was one of the writers of Glow from Manda 2014. Great song. Also writing or co-writing Victorious, Lena Headland, famously covered by Steps.
Yeah.
The winning song, Move by the Mamas in 2020. Also Rich by Julia Alfreda, that in 2021. Tears Run Dry, Patrick Jean in 2021 as well. The End, Angelina in 2022. And then this year, she was also behind Victoria, All My Life, Where Have You Been, from last week. So 7 sort of entries where she's been part of the writing team. And then finally, after 9 years of being a songwriter, she decides to take to the stage herself.
Ooh.
Alex, what did you think to Melanie?
I liked Melanie. Again, we talked about this last night. It feels very much like something that we also would have seen Cornelia do last year. Mm-hmm. It's got kind of a similar energy in that sense. But it's got a little bit more of an upbeat thing as it goes along, which separates from that. I think she looks great. I think she's got a really good screen presence, like the way she looks into the camera, the way she kind of engages with an audience. I think she's really kind of gotten that. And that comes from, you know, having a lot of experience with this, because, you know, we said she's written a lot and they picked up on it in the show that she's background sung for it, like she did for the Mamas.
Yeah,
the year that they won. So yeah, I think she's a really, if not the liveliest, one of the more engaging entertainers that we've seen tonight.
Good at kind of looking down the lens and doing that connection down the lens with the audience.
And, you know, the the staging of it was really simple but effective. So I have no complaints. I really liked it.
Mark?
I'll echo most of that. I thought it was a simple song, but she sung it really well, mostly. I thought there were a few spots where I was a bit like, but I think that can be ironed out. Again, I thought there was a nice bit of a hook with the word repetition in the lyrics to get the audience singing along, because I think that's always important. I think you could really tell that she was enjoying herself as well. And I think that really, really matters. When you see that the performer is enjoying themselves, you get carried along with it, don't you? You're taken with them.
Yeah.
And that's really, really important. And like Alex said, she looks great on the camera and she connects really well with the audience looking down. Mm. It's like, it's almost like her eyes are never off the camera.
Yeah.
It's I think that performance is really is well done. I like the thing on the stage, how it's split apart in the middle towards the end.
Yes, that structure.
It probably signifies, it's probably symbolic of something, but I'm not clever enough to figure that out.
It's the splitting. It's all about, I get the vibe, it's about a relationship.
Yeah.
Just for the show, we are just doing this, keeping up appearances almost. And we're now splitting, maybe. I would echo what Alex had said. It's got the Cornelia structure for me. The whole first verse and the chorus is a bit more stripped back, and then a beat kicks in on verse number two, that dum-dum-dum-dum. Agree with both of you, it's sung very well. She's a great performer. However, if this was to win, it's a bit too similar to Cornelia. That's the problem. In terms of the structure, but also in terms of that performance, she's got a thing on stage that she interacts with a bit. She has the tube, Cornelia had the big circle thing. So great song, but too similar to last year. And it would be a big mistake, I think, if this was to be selected, because it's like Sweden just sending last year's song again. Sorry, a bit of a downer on that one.
No. Good song. I actually totally agree. I think it's always a mistake when countries look at what won the previous year and think, oh, we need to do something like that. Because I think it's rare that a similar song will win like the year after.
Yeah.
Or do well the year after. Obviously, because Cornelia didn't win. But you know what I mean.
Yeah. Moving on then to song number four, Nordman, Slip Alla Sorga. I just have one thing to say about this.
Kronos!
That is a niche reference, Gary.
But you know it.
That is very niche.
You knew it.
I know it. Alex is probably thinking, what on earth are they on about?
Yeah. You're gonna have to fill me in on that one.
The birds and the background, it just reminds me at the beginning, it just reminded me of Kronos from the Time Monster in Doctor Who.
Yeah, a story from 1972. Oh my word.
Yeah, it's niche.
Very niche.
Nordman is not a solo artist, it's actually the name of the duo.
So it should be Nordmen, surely.
Nordman have competed before in Melfest, but a long time ago, actually, 2005, which is was the first one I watched live, actually, the 2005 season. And 2008 was their next appearance. And so we've had a 15-year gap before they've come back. What did you think, Mark?
Oh, I was hoping you were going to go to somebody else first.
Oh,
I'm
happy.
It's fine. I did like the bird motif. I'll say that. The bird motif was interesting, moody. I thought the song overall, it didn't grab me massively. It wasn't, again, it wasn't a bad song. It was generally well sung, although I thought he looked a little bit ill at ease. He didn't look particularly comfortable at times, I thought, on the stage. Yeah, maybe he was just nerves.
He looked a little bit like he was there doing karaoke.
Oof. Harsh. I mean, I don't know how long it's been since they performed, to be honest. I'm just having a quick look at their Wikipedia entry, and actually, it's... no, it's not like they've had a big gap or anything like that. Well, 3 years. They released a single in 2019 to celebrate 25 years. And then, understandably, they went on hiatus because of the pandemic and stuff. So, 2022 came back and took part in Sommika Bättre, which is like a Swedish reality show about music. And then obviously they've done Melfest now. So yeah, there was a bit of a gap, but not massive.
Not massively.
No. I mean, for me, I'm not a big fan of folk pop normally.
No.
Unless it's Timotei. I want to say Pantene then. that's like shampoo. Pantene. No, Timotei. I like the kind of folk pop that Timotei do. Okay. And they've done it. But I'm not really a big fan of Nordman.
No.
Very simple staging, though, compared to a lot of others that have bangs, flashes, dancers, graphics and stuff. You know, yes, they had birds and things, but it mainly relied on just those two on stage selling it.
Yeah.
Anything else anybody would like to say before we move on?
No, I think that's covered all the notes.
Sorry, Nordman.
Sorry.
Okay, so we then go on to song number 5, Laurel and Sober. Now, a bit of background on Laurel.
Yeah, I was about to say, go back to comment, you want to talk about someone who's, like, been in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit similar to Melody. She's a writer, primarily, in Melfest, anyway. She was one of the writers behind All the Feels by Renada. Great song, love that. Tempo by Margaret, which was a bit of a Latin pop influenced tune. Also Surface, again, along with Paul Ray. Brave, Hannah Firm, remember that one?
Oh, good song.
2020. Missing Piece from Paul Ray in 2021. Yeah. Fingerprints, Natalie Bridolf that year. And then from last year, Freedom, Faith Kakembo, which is quite a good one. And we've also seen her last week, I think it was, Never Give Up, Maria Sir. She's on the list of that. So
yeah. She's written something like 20 or so songs for about 7 or 8 different countries. I know she's written for the UK about 4 times, including Bigger Than Us for Michael Rice. Mm. Six songs she's had that have made it to Eurovision.
Yeah, she's really got a great career songwriting-wise. So kick us off then, Alex. What did you think of her performance as a solo artist?
I think... our friend, when we were watching it, our friend Michael said something about it that summed it up best. It was a very good song, but it probably would have been amazing if it had been sung by someone else.
That's not the first time I've heard that comment. I've seen that on social media. I think, oh, that's not very nice.
It's not that it isn't a bad song. It's not that she doesn't have the energy. I think it's more of a case of there's something in the aesthetic that's a bit more, I want to say, juvenile. And Laurel, how old is Laurel? She's like 43. It feels like this is a song made for someone maybe in their 20s. This is not a song for a 43-year-old woman from Vancouver to be singing.
Well, why not? If you can have Ava and Ava, who were like in their 70s.
Yeah, but Ava and Ava sang something that was age appropriate, is what I am saying. Like, this would have been great. This for me feels like a Cassiopeia song.
Okay, yeah, it's like, certainly is colourful, isn't it?
Like, I could see this working really well for someone in their 20s to really kind of nail it. I'm not saying the aesthetic is bad; it's great. It's fun. It's dancey. It's a little trippy. It's amazing, but I just think if it had been sung by someone maybe in their 20s, someone who for the aesthetic it feels more age appropriate. Mm-hmm. I feel like the fact that we all know that she's that we could see that this is a woman who's of a certain age, and it kind of looks like she's trying to regain a little bit of her youth in that sense.
Good grief, Alex, she's younger than us.
I feel personally attacked.
Tell me the truth. Would you or Gary rock that kind of aesthetic anywhere in public?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
I'm not going to lie, I've lost a little bit of respect for you, Gary.
No, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I think, absolutely, it was a good song. I really liked the aesthetic of it, the effects. I like the video effects. I thought were great, and that like psychedelia of it all. But yeah, I do agree. I think it would have been better sung by somebody else. I don't know whether it needed to be somebody necessarily younger, but I didn't feel like vocally it was as strong as it could have been. I felt like... I'm hitting the microphone. I'm not getting angry. I just felt like, you know, she was trying to be a cool mom.
Okay.
I'm a cool mom.
Fair enough. I think it's great. I think it's a great pop song. It's colourful. It's poppy, psychedelic, as you said. Love the CSO homage to 1970s Doctor Who again. The weird kind of furry walls behind her that keep changing with the video effects, and then the dancing bears in these kind of weird pajama outfits, and it's a bit sinister, like sinister panda bears or something like that. I'm not quite sure. But it's just a fun pop track. And honestly, I have no idea how old or how young she was, to be honest. I've not looked at that.
I just want to re-clarify as well. I'm not saying that she shouldn't rock that aesthetic. That's her choice. I feel like I have to backtrack here. I feel like I'm going to make loads of it. I feel like we're going to get people like sending me like angry hate mail, like all the Lorel fans. And be like, how dare you say... No, it is her prerogative to wear that and rock that aesthetic. Whether that aesthetic is entirely made for her is another matter entirely.
Well, you know, she gave it a go. Wasn't quite as successful as perhaps she'd hoped, but you know, I've no doubt we'll see her name somewhere again
at Belfast absolutely. Eurovision.
Without a doubt, she'll be back.
On to song number six, then. Ida or Ida, I think, as they pronounce it in Sweden. Lova, låt hela stan se på. For me, this was another a bit more of a Cornelia clone again. It's the same structure, of starting slow, stripped back, and then the beat kicks in on verse two again, which is unfortunate that she got placed in the same semi as Melanie, because it means there's going to be inevitable comparisons. I think it's okay. She's just 18. You know, to get up on stage at 18 in front of that massive crowd is a big, big thing. So kudos for doing that. It wasn't badly sung, particularly. You know, nearly all every entries this year, every entries in this heat, very well sung, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was just okay, but nothing special. Nothing that I'm, you know, I'm thinking I'm racing to listen to that again. But I can give you a fun fact. Her mum presented Melfest in 2010.
Oh.
What did you think, Mark?
Probably exactly the same as you, to be honest. Nice enough. Simple. Reasonably well sung. Yeah, her age stood out. Very young. And as you say, kudos to her. For getting up there and putting herself out there. I'm not sure I'd have done it at the age of 18, but then I can't sing. Yeah, nice enough, if a smidgen on the dull side. It just didn't stand out in this heat at all, I don't think. But interestingly, I did notice that whenever they announced her, there was a big cheer for her in the audience.
Yeah.
So she's obviously got some fans. Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm.
One to watch, maybe.
Yeah.
What did you think, Alex?
Again, you know, respect for her at 18 to be able to get up on that stage and perform in front of all those people. I wouldn't do it, but... remember how last week I was talking about how I read one of the songs as my smoke break song?
Ooh. Is it that this week's?
I'm afraid so. You know, it's again, I admire the confidence of it, but this really didn't do a lot for me. I thought the staging was okay. You know, the idea of having that kind of big, like, mile of fabric that was just draped across the stage is fine. You know, it's a good almost kind of concert-y piece, but, you know, the song itself was not wow for me. I thought the kind of mixed material rhubarb and custard-esque looking outfit that she was wearing was not very flattering for her.
She looked kind of relieved, I think, after she'd finished. She's like,
yeah. She looked a little nervous about the whole thing. She looked like she wanted this to be over as quickly as possible. And you kind of need to be able to show that confidence when you're on that stage.
Our final song then, number 7, Marcus and Martinus and Air. They're brothers, and they are actually Norwegian. And they won Junior MGP back in 2012, and that was the thing. So they're already kind of national final winners kind of thing. This is the first time on stage at Melody Festivalen. And they've got some very good writers behind them. Joy Deb, Linnea Deb, Jimmy Joker Thornfeld as well. Go on, Mark. Is this up your street?
I'm here for it, quite frankly. I think they just had the whole package, didn't they? They had a good song. They sung it really well. They had good outfits. The staging was fantastic with the lasers and the light show. It was contemporary, great choreo. It was the package. More like this, please.
Do you agree, Alex?
You guys know how I feel about these kind of the boy bandy types at Eurovision. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel about it. I went into this prepared to really, really not like these two. But in the end, you know, they gave a very good performance. I thought it was, they, even despite the fact that they are twins, I thought it was really clever of them to give them outfits that, while they had the same kind of aesthetical feel, definitely gave them both their own individual styles, which I thought was good. Again, The lasers were a really clever choice. The song itself was really good. So, yeah, I thought they did very well. Mm. And I really enjoyed this song.
Well, speaking of style, personally, I think a stylist needs to be employed. Or if they have already got one, then they should be sacked, because I didn't like the styling that they have.
The really?
The outfits themselves, no, didn't like them. These kind of black jackets or black top with these, it just looks like silver tinsel hanging off it, and it looks cheap. This is just my personal opinion, obviously. And I know nothing about fashion. I normally like a bag of whatever, bleep. styling wise, we need work needs to be done. Maybe something will happen when we head towards the final for that. But the song, bit late 90s trance pop in some places.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a chorus. Mm.
No. I tell you what, I didn't realise at first, but it did remind me of Bluffin. But hasn't Liamu written part of it as well?
Now you're asking.
I know. I know. I saw him in the show.
He's not.
I don't know if he was
listed as one of the writers.
But it had that similar vibe. It was very contemporary, even though it harked back to that 90s trance.
And I think that was, I say that because I was partially influenced by the kind of laser show that they put on. That felt very ravey, trancey.
Yeah.
As well. But you know what? It's a really, really good song. I love it. The staging was good. I thought on the chorus, the backing vocals seemed to be quite high in the mix for that. But they can sing, because there were elements where there wasn't backing accompanying them, and you could hear it. And you think, okay, yeah, you're not hiding behind your backing vocals here. You really can sing.
Mm. I thought some of the lyrics were a tad simplistic and were there because they rhymed. You're just like the ocean. I'm feeling a million emotions sort of thing. It's a little bit, okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, we need something to rhyme with emotions. What can we throw in?
Oh, ocean.
I think my only criticism would be there's no kind of big finish to it. It just kind of stops. You know, every time I've watched the performance, I've just gone, oh, it's over. You know, and when I'm expecting to kind of build up to a big finish, you just pull the plug. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's that then. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, good one. Right, so that's our seven songs.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the interval then, we had a couple of more inductees into the Hall of Fame. We have Petra Mierda, who presented Eurovision 2013 and 2016, and is considered to be one of the best hosts of Eurovision, certainly of the 21st century. And she's also done Melfest presenting duties a couple of times as well. Slightly disappointed that she wasn't able to collect her award in person. I don't know if she was busy or didn't have time to do a video message, you know, WhatsApp it in or maybe she's just, you know, busy with another network because she just worked for other channels in Sweden. But even better, we got our second inductees of the night, Sven and Lotta, who sang Bang a Boomerang in 1975 and came third, and that was written by none other than Bjorn and Benny off of ABBA.
Yeah.
That's a really good song, and Aphrodite came in to do a banging disco cover of it. I loved that. That was great.
It was a great cover. Great song. Yeah. Liked it.
So nice bit of interval entertainment. So let's take a look at the results then. So after the first round of voting, Marcus and Martinez and Air go direct to finale. Was that what you expected at that stage? Do you think they'd be leading the pack?
They're who I wanted to.
I think they'd do well. I didn't know if they'd be like leading the pack, but I definitely thought they would be doing well in the competition.
Mm-hmm. So with them going direct to finale, the lines reopen and we go for a second round of voting. And then we obviously go through the point sequence where it's broken down by televotes and by age group on the app. Our eventual leaderboard has Paul Ray and Royals going direct to finale again. We have Nordman and Melanie in second and third place in that round of voting. So they go to Andrew Hansen. I'm still calling it Andrew Hansen, not semi-final.
No, it's Andrew Hansen.
So goodbye to Ida, Laurel and the Casanovas. Oh,
yes.
I don't know, in general, would you agree with that result? Would you have swapped any songs out?
I think I'd have actually swapped around Nordman and Laurel.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I said, I thought it was a really good song. Like, Nordman, I was surprised at just how popular it was. But, you know, I have to remember that my tastes are vastly different from most other people's. And so yeah, I'm not surprised that a song like that would do well in Eurovision.
What about you, Mark?
Yeah, exactly the same. No massive surprises, but I probably would have swapped Nordman and Laurel around. But again, it doesn't surprise me that Nordman got through, knowing that, you know, they're quite popular and they've done Melfest a few times. But I was surprised at just how popular they were and how many. Well, they got a couple of 12s, didn't they? And then quite a few 10s. And it was, it came all pretty much right down to the wire, didn't it?
Yeah, the lead was changing, wasn't it, between Paul and Nordman. Personally speaking, I would probably have sacrificed Paul Ray and put Casanovas in, but that's just my French vanilla fantasy. That's never going to happen. Oh, well. So, a much stronger heat, I think.
Definitely. Third time's a charm.
Yeah, everybody. It feels like it's gotten stronger and stronger each heat. So it'll be interesting to see, saved the best for last.
Well,
I do mean the very best for the very last.
Well, it's all about Loreen next week, isn't it?
Yep.
High expectations for Heat 4. Can she do it again? Because she's one of the favourites. I've not even heard the song.
I know.
Gosh. Right, so join us next time when we take a look at Heat 4 and we will see... Is Loreen the one to beat? Okay, thank you for listening. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.